Okay, I wanted to start with something which has nothing to do with our sugya at all, which is not on the Maror Mekomot, which is not just a quick he'ara on something in Chumash that has to do with this part of Chumash that we're reading these days. Much for 2 minutes, maybe five, not more than that, but very, very briefly. But I mention it not as an insight in Chumash, but really because I think that it's very relevant for our learning of Gemara. Okay, and it may not be immediately obvious what I'm getting at, but you'll see in just a few moments what it has to do with the process of learning whatever you're learning, whether you're learning Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh. And it connects with things that we've discussed, and I just wanted to mention it since it's both, you know, in the parashiyot and very relevant to learning. And I think it also is helpful, perhaps. I did a good job of stalling. Helpful, perhaps, in terms of understanding something that people have difficulty with, and perhaps even a lot of people say some strange things, different strange things, various strange things about. So I just want to put out there a suggestion, an idea, food for thought. One of the things that Mefarshim struggle with a bit, if you look at the classical Mefarshim, you'll see, and not so classical Mefarshim also, in different ways, despite the fact that Rivka clearly goes to great lengths to secure the bracha for Yaakov, as opposed to Esav. Despite that, yes, but give me a moment, we'll get there. Okay, you missed the small introduction to this, but you didn't miss anything of substance. In any case, despite the fact that Rivka very clearly goes to great lengths to secure the bracha for Yaakov, it's very clear that she wants that to happen and that she's going to do whatever she can to achieve it. The single most obvious thing that she could possibly have done seems to be absent from the whole equation, and that is, we know that Rivka was told a nevuah, right? That Virav Yavod Sa'ir, which seems to resolve the whole question. And one would have thought that the most obvious thing for Rivka to do is to go to Yitzhak and say, you know, that the Rav, the older one, will serve the younger one. Okay? So there you have it. Virav Esav, Yavod, Sa'ir. So what's the Shiloh? Which one is the one to be chosen? Of course, it's the younger one. V'rav Yavod, Sa'ir. It's Beferish. So if she has this clear nevuah, why doesn't she go to Yitzchak? She goes and does all these crazy things to try to get Yaakov the bracha. Why doesn't she just say to Yitzchak, you're picking the wrong person? From the point of view of, you know, pure Seichel and just what we can figure out ourselves, maybe you're justified in thinking whatever you're thinking. But Lemais, I have a nevuah that this is the one who's supposed to be chosen, right? V'rav Yavod Sa'ir. So why doesn't Rivka do that? And it doesn't seem anywhere in the Pesukim that it doesn't seem that she does that. So why not? And people say different things. If you look at the Ramban, if you look at others, all kinds of different explanations that are given why Rivka doesn't say it. I want to suggest something very, very simple and very relevant to the process of learning. And that's why I'm mentioning it. Okay, I want to suggest a very simple idea. We have the nevuah of Rav Yavod Sa'ir. Okay? It seems to me that Rivka did say it to Yitzchak. That she did tell Yitzchak. So Yitzchak didn't care what the nevuah said. I think that the pshat is that both Rivka and Yitzchak know the nevuah of Rav Yavod Sa'ir. So to speak, they both know that text. They both know that source. The question is, how do you interpret it? Okay. We can have the same text, can be understood in different ways, sometimes even in opposite ways. One way to understand V'rav Yavod Sa'ir is the way Rivka understands it correctly, that V'rav Yavod Sa'ir, in the sense of, you know, that the superior one, the one who's going to be the chosen one, etc., is going to be the Tsa'ir, V'rav Yavod Sa'ir. Right? That's one pshat that one could say. But there's another pshat that one could suggest. And that is that we know that at Brit Ben Abtarim in Bereishit Perek Tedvav, it says that what's going to happen to the Zera of Avraham, to the lineage of Avraham, is what? Vavadum v'inu otam arba'meot shana. And the Torah tells us how this happens with Yitzchak and with Yaakov and chule. Okay, but for example, by Yaakov, we have in the house of Lavan, it talks about hachi achiata v'avatani chinam, v'avadum, and etonyi v'yigia kapai v'ayelukim v'yachamesh. We have all these things applied to Yaakov and the Zera of Avraham. This is the chosen lineage is going to be subject to the nevuah of v'avadum v'inu otam arba'meot shana. Perhaps what Yitzchak felt was, given his inclination to believe that the proper one to choose, in any case, was Esav and not Yaakov, that v'rav yavod tzair, levah, that's a raya for me. Why? Because if v'rav yavod tzair, if Esav is going to be an eved, so that proves that he's the one who's the fulfillment of kiger yezaracha beretz lohem v'avadum v'inu otam arba'a meot shana, right? So I think what we have is a machlok between Yitzchak and Rivka in terms of how to interpret this text, this source. Not a question of whether they know the source or not. They both know the source, but the question is, how do you interpret it? How do you apply it? And what assumptions you make are going to influence if Rivka thinks that the one who should be chosen is Yaakov, so she's going to interpret it one way, and Yitzchak, who thinks that it should be Esav, for whatever reasons, which are a different discussion, so he's going to interpret it differently. I think that this is paradigmatic of machloket in general. I'm saying every machloket is like this, but many, many machloket are not like this. Very often we think we saw the Rav Rambam and Rav Rambam we talked about. Sometimes we think that, oh, there's, you know, this person says one thing, this person says another. There's this source that A brings to back up his point. It must be that B didn't know that source, ignore that source, whatever it is. Lavdavka, very often in the very source that A is bringing as a raya for his position is what B is basing himself on, and not that he wasn't aware of it. It's just that he understood it in a very different way and put it into, you know, it depends on how he processed it in terms of how he interpreted, how he processed it, how he fitted into other things that he may have, different assumptions he may have had. And that's very important to understand in terms of the whole process of learning. Okay, that has nothing to do with the specific sugya we're about to embark on necessarily. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. That's not why I want to mention. I mention it really because it's at the same time a point of interest in these parashot, I think, and I think it relates to something that people say some very strange things about, so I want to suggest I think is a more compelling way of reading it. But that's not important. The point is that I think it's very relevant for the process of learning, and it fits with many things that we've seen, and we'll see Be'ezra Hashem, so I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Okay, let's begin the sugya. Okay, fascinating little sugya. There are many aspects to it. We're going to focus on Psiagasa, which is the hardest part, I think, of the sugya. We're going to focus on Psiagasa in the broader context of the whole sugya. We're not going to do every facet of it, certainly not today, or even... we'll continue Bezrat Hashem on Yom Chamishi, but I'd like to start, whenever we continue, but I'd like to start, I'd like to focus on the issue of Psiagasa. So the Gemara talks about, and we're going to jump in the middle, and if people have questions about the other parts of the sugya, we'll look at Bli Neder, Bezrat Hashem, other times perhaps, but right now we're going to focus on this part. The Gemara says like this, after talking about the issue of folding, not folding clothing, Shabbos, not, etc., etc., then the Gemara says like this, Amar Rav Huna. This is about, this is precisely five lines from the bottom of the page. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Is that right? Six lines? What? Six lines from the bottom of the page. Six lines from the bottom. Im yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. A person has different clothing to wear for Shabbos, they should change their clothing. Okay, so if a person has different clothing, says Rashi, person has the luxury of having different clothing they can put on for Shabbos, so that's l'chatchila. If not, yishal shel b'vgadav, klape mata, shiru arukim, Fumidat ashirim hayoshvim beveitam veinam tzrichim lesalek bigdehem min haaretz bishvil malacha ukvot shabbat. So Rashi explains that if a person doesn't have different clothing, so they wore like, you know, talitot, you know, the closest thing, imagine like our talis, something along those lines. So, and you can adjust it. You can like, you know, lower it or raise it depending on how much you bunch it up on top, right? So yishal shel means that you should lower it, right? You should lower it towards the ground, should make it lower. Why? Because we're not, so, you know, I don't think we're as familiar with this type of thing of you know, with the talit and lowering it and raising it. But what would be a modern, common experience for us would be, mentioned to some people before, like rolling up your sleeves, right? The person who is, you know, sitting there and everyone's waiting on them and they don't have to do anything and they don't have to get their hands dirty. So you have your sleeves rolled down and, you know, on the other hand, the person has to work. You're going to work in the garden. You're going to, you know, do whatever it is. You're going to do the dishes. Going to do a lot. So you have to start rolling up your sleeves so that you don't, you know, get them dirty and you're able to get to work. So there's a similar idea that it's a sign of luxury. It's a sign of not being involved in physical labor and so on and so forth. So that's a way of making yourself a little fancier for Shabbos if you don't have a different clothing. You just making do with the same clothing and changing its appearance. Okay? So,
roll down your sleeves then?
Roll down your sleeves, right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that
because
when you work, you would roll up your sleeves. There. So, I mean, as an analogy, I'm saying this is not talking about sleeves, but it's a similar idea. Okay? So the Gemara says, it says, Matkivla Rav Safra Vahamitchaze Kiramit Rucha. Doesn't it appear like haughty? Doesn't it appear like, you know, putting on airs to do that? So Gemara answers, Kevan Dechol Yoma Lo Ka'avid, Ba'id Nahu De Ka'avid, Lo Mitchaze Kiramit Rucha. Since the person doesn't do it every day, just on Shabbos, so it's clear that they're doing it L'chvot Shabbat and Zah. Okay, Pchibato Me'asot Rechecha. Okay, Pasuk in Yishayahu, which all of the halachot of kavod and oneg are based on. It says, v'chibadeto me'asot drachecha. V'chibadeto, we learn from there, shelo yehe malbushcha shal shabbat ki malbushcha shal chol. V'chihad Rabbi Yochanan kari lemane mechabdutai. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan referred to his clothing, his garments, as like his source of kavod. So in other words, meaning that a person, you know, has a certain kavod because of the way they're dressed, and therefore, the chibadito is referring to, I think what the Gemara is bringing Rabbi Yochanan for is actually to prove that the way a person dresses is part of their kavod, meaning because the chibadito is talking about the person, not about their clothing. No, the clothing is part of how we express our own kavod in a particular circumstance. So the Gemara continues, right? Shalei malbushcha shal shabbat kamashul shal chol. Okay. The next phrase in the pasuk. Okay, you shouldn't walk the same way on Shabbos. And obviously, we have to come back and understand what this means. But you shouldn't walk the same way on Shabbos as on Chol. So we learn from there. That you can be involved in Chepzei Shamayim, but not in our own affairs. Okay. V'daber davar, the next part of the pasuk. Shlo yehi diburcha shol shabbat ki diburcha shol chol. Don't talk the same way. Okay. Parenthetically, we say dibur asur hirhur mutar. Okay. So the Gemara says bishlama kulu l'chayai. I understand. Right? All the others are fine. In terms of how you're Mekayim, Shlo Yehei, this and that and the other, Shalcha B'chol, Yish B'Shabbat, whatever it is, B'chol. Ella Shlo Yehei Luchacha Shal Shabbat Ki Luchacha Shal Chol. Mayhi, what's that referring to? Ki had Amarav Huna, Amarav, Amarav, Amrila, Amarav Yabba, Amarav, Amarav Huna, Hayim Ahal B'Shabbat, Bagam Amat Mayim, Im Yachol Lahaniach Raglo Rishona, Kom Shetayakar Shnia Mutar, Vim La Basur. Right, so it's talking about you bump into this stream of water and you can't, if you can step over, it's fine, but if you have to jump over, it's not okay. So, Matkva Rava says, what do you mean? Hechi Levit, what do you want the person to do? What's he supposed to do? Leikuf, you want him to go around. Kamamish Milucha, so all this added Tircha and Shabbos. So if you're going to say Leavar, you want him to walk through the water. Zimrin de Mistabim Mani Maya, he's going to get soaked. Va'ati Lidei Schita, he's going to end up doing Schita, that's not good either. El Baha came into the Eshar Shapri Dami. So that's not the case, because since you have no choice, you have to jump off. Ella, right, there's no better alternative. El Kedvai Minei, Rebbe Mirvishmal Rebbe Yossi, but rather it must be like this Shaila that Rebbe asked of Rebbe Shmal Rebbe Yossi. Mal Lusor Psiya Gas B'Shabbat. Okay, are you allowed to take a Psiya Gas on Shabbat? So Amalei, Rebbe Shmal Rebbe Yossi answered him, V'chi B'chol Mi Hutra. Who says it's Mutter? Who permitted on Chol? What do you mean, you're asking about Shabbos? You're assuming it's okay on that it's a question whether you can do it on Shabbos. Implication on Chol, it's fine, but that's not okay. Shani Omer Psia Gasan Hotel Acha Mechamish Meod Nivor Einav Shel Adam Umahadle B'Kedush Bei Shimshe. Okay, requires a separate explanation, separate share, enough for this moment. But in any case, literal translation that Psia Gasa takes away a 1/500th of a person's sight, and it is restored through the Kiddush of a Friday. Okay. That's the Gemara. Okay, that's the Gemara. Beseder. I have one little problem with the Gemara. Okay, one little problem with the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to explain what? What is the goal? Right? We always keep in mind, what is the goal? What is the Gemara trying to explain? Say better. What is the Gemara trying to explain?
What's the cover of Shabbos?
Okay. What?
What can't you do on Shabbos in terms of work?
Okay. Let's go one step better. Who can be more precise? You're right, but let's say more precise. What does the Gemara want to explain? What wants to explain how lemaisa we fulfill what halacha? Okay. Masodra, how would she teach us what? Shalom. What would it say? Shalom, Yehei,
Elcha,
B'Shabbat, Kihi Luchacha, right? B'chol. Correct? That's what we're trying to explain. The Gemara ends up saying, after some failed attempts, the Gemara ends up saying that, what is it referring to? This is going to tell you, what's it referring to?
When you go to the water.
That was rejected, though. Right, so since that's Eafsha, there's no better alternative. So what is the Gemara's maskam?
It's making feet bigger than an amma.
What? Psiagasa, right? Psiagasa?
I reject that by saying that even on Chol you can't do it.
Okay, so Psiagasa. Now what's the halach by Psiagasa?
Okay.
What's the halach on Chol? What's the halach on Shabbos?
There's a halach on Chol.
What's the halach on Chol?
You should do it on Chol.
Okay. So maskam, what, right? The answer Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi was, then Chol it's Asur, and Shabbat, it's also Asur. Okay. Right?
So,
correct. That's exactly the point. So how do you understand the Gemara?
Then you have to walk differently on Shabbos, so then that must not be it.
Great. So how do people understand the Gemara?
It hasn't gotten to it.
Everyone understands the problem? Right? It's an obvious kasha, right? Then you're kasha. We just don't understand. The whole point of the Gemara is to explain Shelo Yehei Lucha B'Shabbat Kilocha B'Chol. That it shouldn't be the same, right? That it should be different. Now, truth be told, there are slightly different understandings of Shelo Yehei in the Gemara amongst the Rishonim, okay? And some Rishonim emphasize the idea of making a distinction more, and some say that that's less the issue, but Tachlis, the Pashas is that Shelo Yehei Yilucha B'Shabbat, Yilucha B'chol, means that there, whether it is the point of it or not, there should be a distinction. That's what the Braita says, right? That you it's on Shabbos we walk differently on Chol. So I just want to understand, if you can't take a Psia Gasa even on Chol, so how is Psia Gasa an explanation of Shlohi Hei Lucha B'Shabbat Ki Lucha B'Chol? Okay, I don't think that I just asked the Kasha that, like, you know, okay, we had the Gemara and then I have a Kasha on it, right? No, I'm just asking you how do you understand the Gemara? What's the Gemara saying? You're the same Gemara I have. You tell me.
But it seems to say that just during Chol, like, it's not, you're not really, you shouldn't really do it, because, but if you do, then it can be remedied by keeping Kedusha
Beseder, but they, I mean, but didn't, I'm trying to understand, didn't Rebbe, when Rebbe asked, is it mutter on Shabbos, wasn't the answer that that you're wrong to assume that's mutter on Chol, it's Asr, even on Shani Omer, right? Isn't he saying that Bechol mi, let's read again. Amale V'chi Bechol mi teruah, right? Shani Omer P'siak Asno, etc. Said, who said it's mutter even on Chol? Possibly saying that's Asr, even on Chol, so I understand. Yes.
It's like coming back to you, like you lose it and it comes back. It seems to be that it's not the best thing to do, but if you do it, don't worry because there's just like a solution to the problem.
Okay.
So, on whole, you have that solution.
Maybe that's true on Shabbos also.
On Shabbos, you have to wait until Kiddush again.
Okay.
Whole,
say that.
But also, according to the Meiri, it's the Kiddush of Shabbat that remembers it. So, if you're doing it on Shabbat, it's going, it's the antithesis of the whole idea of Shabbat.
Okay. I hear. I'm still bothered by the fact that, like, if the bottom line is that it's usher even during the week, right? Okay, so there's a remedy. So he says a remedy. If there isn't a remedy, but bottom line, how is this a distinction between how? Again, shelo yehi lucha b'shabbat ki lucha b'chol, right? Saying that I'm not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way I walk on Chol, but didn't we say that on Chol you're also not supposed to walk that way? So granted, there's a remedy. Says mihi tiruha, who told you, you know, who gave you a heter to do this during the week? I say it's lav dako. I mean, the pashas is that he's saying to him, forget about Shabbos, you can't do it the rest of the week either. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So if that's the case, I just don't understand. Like if you're not
more to the Gemara, we just stopped at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We didn't want to continue.
You're welcome to continue. I don't think it's going to help you, but you're welcome to continue. I never told you could only do till there. No, I mean, clearly, if you came to this point in the Gemara and you felt like the question isn't answered, so the logical thing is to read on. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to help you, though. So at least two good answers to this question. They're very different, one from the other. Okay? And we're going to try to take a stab at the first one, and then we'll look at some more Maramakot, and then we'll come back to the second one. That's right, Tasha. Okay? So the first one, you should be able to tell me. Already, for sure, you should be able to tell me the first one. Who can tell me the first one? What's the first answer? No, just based on our, just read the Gemara. You know, people read this Gemara already a number of times. Learn the Gemara already. Who can explain? Shaloi hei yochav b'shabak yochav b'chol. No, Chol is Asr, Shabbos is Asr. How is that a distinction between? How is this an explanation of what's different on Shabbos and Chol? You have to read the Gemara very carefully. If you read the Gemara very carefully, if you read what it actually says, there's a simple, clear answer. The Gemara's answer?
Not the answer, but I said one of the problems with saying that you can't walk faster is that you have to walk all the way around, which extends the amount you're walking.
But that's why the Gemara rejects the Amatamayim thing, but that's not the answer. The answer the Gemara gives is Psiagas in the end, no? Yeah.
Usher.
Remember, we're going from one thing to the other. In other words, these aren't levels within one thing. These are, as we explain what it means by Malbush, then we explain what it means by, you know what I'm saying? It's like we want to understand within each category, they're parallel. They're not...
But in everything,
not,
in most of the times you have like, Hamza Chasr and Hamza Shemaim turn, and then you have Dibur Asur, Hirhur Mutar, like you have things that are clearly Asur and things that are clearly pointed, but like by clothing you don't have that, by things like walking.
But each one is different. Each one is different, that's true. Right? And there's, I don't think there's a pattern in all the others that you can then apply to here. You know what I'm saying? I think. Right? If I understand correctly what you're saying, which I think I did. Yeah. What do you want to say?
But isn't this case different than all the other cases? Because the other cases are cases that can be controlled and you know what's going on. And in terms of walking, if you just come across, like you're not intentionally going to purposely.
But we threw out the Amatamai. You're right about the Amatamai and Beseder, okay? If we stop there, then we'd have to discuss that. We threw that out. Now we're saying Psiagasa. Stop, Psiagasa.
What is Psiagasa?
It means to take large steps. We want an exact definition. So the Meiri has a definition, for example. The Gemara in the Amatamayim case is giving a definition. But, yeah. Wow. Where do you get that from?
Because it says that you can't, it says, see, I got that, it says not much hard on during week, but it never says that you can't do much about it also because of that, just saying.
Well, I mean, Rebbe asks, is it Mutar on Shabbos? And Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi says, it's even Asar on Chol. So, well, who says that it's Mutar on Shabbos? I mean, I think they do, because they say, because this is it, this, we have to go back a few words, right? It says that, Ella, Kidabai Mine, Rebbe Mary Shmal, Rebbe Yossi, Mal So, Psiagas B'Shabbat. In other words, the explanation of Shaloi Hei Ilocha B'Shabbat, you're saying that, well, you have to run all the time on Shabbos, and I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah. Okay. No, but in order for it to be different, you know, you'd have to say that you'd be doing it. I don't know, I think that's difficult to say, yeah?
Why can't you just define the terms differently than you were defining it before? Like, kind of just what? Meaning that when it's saying Shaloi Hei Hilcha B'Shabbos Hilcha B'Chol, that it's saying that the way you would take, like, big steps, like, in the Pisgah is greater, how it talks about... that the way you would go, like, to take big steps to go after to do malacha during the week, you shouldn't, like, take those kinds of steps on Shabbos, and just taking...
But didn't the Gemara say you can't do that even on Chol?
Why can't why can't it be done on Chol?
But that's another good question. Okay, but didn't he say... V'chi b'chol mihi teruah, that's even Asar and Chol. Besedi, you have to understand why it's Asar and Chol. But that's what the Gemara says. That's what he told him. It's Asar.
But how could it be Asar if they're saying how you... It's Asar.
Just one second, I'm sorry, we'll lose it forever. We'll get your next one.
The Gemara says that walking doesn't fit in with the rest of everything else.
That's the kasha, but the Gemara's giving an answer.
But the Gemara rejected that answer.
Rejected which answer?
The first answer,
correct.
How it's different.
First answer rejects, then gives the second answer, Psiagasa.
But you still have. It really is the next question, because they never came up with a psak like it did in all the other cases. So it's still. You still have that question.
Okay. Maybe. I'm not 1,000% sure, but I think. I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. I think you might be on the right road, but you might have to tweak a little bit. Just to, do you want to repeat?
Yeah, can you repeat it?
The Gemara asks the question of how everything else makes sense except for walking.
Right.
So clearly, there's something about walking that or something, and it gave an answer, but then it rejected it and never came up with a definite stop, and didn't all the other pieces.
Okay. That may be true. Maybe. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Okay.
Wait, so
yes, please.
How do they say that you can't walk on Shabbos like you walk to do business the rest of the week if you can't walk to do business on the rest of the week? Like, obviously,
that's the question.
So, like you can't make it a...
That's the question we're asking. How can you say that this is the difference between Shabbos and Chol, if even on Chol it's Aser?
Well, you can't even, like, you can't make it a measurement because you don't understand the measurement because you never do it.
Okay, I mean, it's a more fundamental question, but you're right, but it's a more fundamental question. People, do we read the Gemara? Come on. The Gemara tells us the answer. I'm telling you, and there's more than one way to read it, but there's one very obvious way to read the Gemara. It's very simple. It's very simple.
Where is it?
No, I think you focus on the wrong part of the Gemara.
Is it
let's read and let's read carefully. Okay, let's read carefully. After the Gemara rejects the first attempt of Emet HaMayim, the Gemara then goes on and says, Ella, right? Ella, I want to focus on the next few words. Ella kedabai minei Rebbe me Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi. Let's go no further.
Where are you?
Okay.
Okay.
You skipped it? Well, let's not skip it. Ella, right? So attempt number two. Kedabai minei Rebbe Mi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. What does that mean? What does Kidaba mean? What's Ibaya? What? Ask. Very good. Okay, Kidaba mine Rebbe Mi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. So the answer to the question that we started with, okay, this is suggestion number one. The answer, by the way, before we get to the answer, I just want to point out, this question that I'm asking, I think, is an obvious question. I think if you read the Gemara, you have to ask this question. But if you need a source for the question, the Sfas Emet asks the question. Okay, the Sfas Emet, one of the great, great Achronim, really one of the sharpest of the Achronim, asks this question on the Gemara. It's difficult. But I'd like to suggest a very simple answer. A very, very simple answer. Then we'll try to see if there's a second answer, but we'll start first with the first answer. First answer is very simple. It's just the question of reading the Gemara carefully. Kidabai, the answer to the question, Ella, right, attempt number two is, Kidabai minei Rebbe, Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi. What does that mean? The explanation for Shelo Yehi Luchacha B'Shabbat Kiluchah B'Chol is Kidabai minei Rebbe, Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi. What does that mean? The answer is to be found where? The answer to the question, the answer to how we have a chiluk between hiluch b'Shabbat and b'chol is found where?
The phrase of Rabbi Yishmael.
Brittany, again, question. So for everyone to hear. It is in the question that Rebbe asks Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi, as opposed to what? Not in his response. In other words, in Achinami, according to Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yishmael, we don't have an answer. Right? That's absolutely correct. That according to Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi, according to what he answered him, that it's Aser even Bechol, then I don't understand the Braita. That's goof of the point. The point is that the explanation of the Braita is like the assumption of Rebbe in his Kasha, not like the response of Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi. Okay. Rebbe came over to Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi and he said, maybe it's Aser to do Psiagas on Shabbos, right? Is that correct? That's Aser, you know, that's the assumption. His assumption was, on Chol, it's Mutter, right? On Shabbos, perhaps it's Aser, right? So Rebbe was proposing the suggestion that primarily his suggestion was that it's Aser on Shabbos, right? Parenthetically, he was assuming that it's Mutter on Chol, okay? Rebbe Yishmael responds to him and says, your assumptions are wrong. I disagree with what you're thinking. It's not true that it's mutter on chol and perhaps asr on shabbos. No, it's asr all the time. The Gemara says the answer that we're the Gemara's answer, right? Not Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi, but the Gemara's answer to the Braita, the Gemara's explanation for the Braita is based on not on what Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi answered. That's not helpful at all, right? But rather, it's based on Rebbe. Okay, in other words, we're rejecting Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi.
Oh, we're rejecting his response.
Exactly. We're accepting, rather, Rebbe's assumptions in his question, right? Despite the fact that Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi didn't confirm what Rebbe thought, but we're accepting Rebbe, not the response of Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. Why? Why would we accept that? Because it explains the Braita, right? Which Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi doesn't, okay? I'm rather sure that there are many, perhaps most, Rishonim understood the Gemara this way. Okay, I think that this is, even though they don't necessarily spell it out, but if you look at one Rishon after another, you'll see a number of Rishonim. Look at Rabbi Hananel. Let's start at the very beginning. Rabbi Hananel. Oh, by the way, someone asked me when Rashi, what the dates for Rashi were compared to Rabbi Hananel, to the Rif and whatever. So I looked it up. Rashi is from 1040 to 1105. Okay, so basically, from after he died, Rashi was born when Rabbeinu Gershom and approximately when Rav Haigon died in 1038 and Rabbeinu Gershom in 1040 and Rashi was born in 1040. That's in the middle of the life of the Rif, who was, as I said, the Talmud of Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, so in any case, Rabbeinu Hananel, look at the bottom line of Rabbeinu Hananel, okay? What does Rabbeinu Hananel say? That, let's go, the next last line of Rabbeinu Hananel, I'm sorry, goes into the last line. He says, Ela Ukimna, what do we say that the Braita is talking about? What's the maskan of the Gemara? Ela Ukimna, we establish it's talking about, Shlo Yei Lucha Shal Shabak Lucha Shal Chol, Ela Kidei Sheaniach Vishona Kon Sheyakar Shania, Gasot. Anyone see that? What's Rabbeinu Hananel saying? What's Rabbeinu Hananel saying? The Pshat and the Bright is? Can't do Psiya Gasa when? On Shabbos. Right? How did Rabbeinu Hananel apparently learn the Gemara?
The way we suggested.
That Kidabai Mine Rebbe May Rebbe. Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, not accepting his response, but saying, we're going to explain the Braita. The Gemara is going to explain the Braita. Say the Braita is the Shita that Rebbe was alluding to, that Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi dismissed, but that's what the Braita is saying. That's clearly how Rabbeinu Hananel learns, right? I think it's also how the Rid learns, and the Riaz, right? It's great, Rishon of Italy.
Thing, then we would never
right?
Have to run.
What?
Then we'd never be allowed to run.
We'll get to it. We're not done. We haven't seen all the Rishonim yet. Okay, lot. But in any case, the first way to understand the Gemara, which I think is how Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rid and the Riaz understood it, at the very least, is that it's Kidabai Mine Rebbe Mi Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi, okay? Kidabai Mine, those are the key words. Okay, they look so innocent. You can almost skip them. But they are at least, according to many Mishnayos, the key to the whole sugya. Okay, it's a little bit of a tricky Gemara, but everyone understand how we just read it, right? That's the first way to read it. That's the easy explanation for the Gemara and how we're going to explain Shlohei Hilcha B'Shabbat Hilcha B'Chol. The Seder, everyone got it? Okay. If you look in the Rid, you look in the Riaz, I believe the implication there as well is Me'asot Rechecha Shlohei Luchecha B'Shal Shabbat Kilcha Shal Chol Shlo Yapsia Psia Gasa Ke'adam Shemaher L'Machtov L'Asot Chavatzav. Okay, he's saying, what does it mean to not be Mahalach on Shabbos like Chol? No Psia Gasa. Sounds like Rabbeinu Hananel, I think. Same thing in the Riaz, who was the Rid's grandson. Okay, Rid's grandson, Riaz. Asul so psiagas b'Shabbat shenemar chivato me'asot rechecha shleil chacha shol Shabbat kilcha shol chol hayam alek b'Shabbat paga b'metmayim mutalov so v'avor. Okay, that's the first part. In any case, so what I want you to get out of the Riaz, the Rid, the Rabbeinu Chananel, is if you look at them, what do they all say? That's Aser Lifsoa Psiagasa B'Shabbat. So the immediate question should be, what do you mean? The Gemara said it's Aser Afilu B'Chol. Right? So clearly they understood the Gemara differently. Right? And the way they understood the Gemara is Kidabai Minei, which will give us an explanation for the Braita. That's number one. That's approach number one. Kidabai, and then where's Ibaya Lahu, right? Kidabai, as, well, the words are going to come out funny because we're translating from one language to another and the syntax in, but no, I'm warning you ahead, okay? Ki, like, right? Kidabai, as asked, Kidabai, mine of him, meaning of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Kidabai, mine, Rebbe, Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi. As, right, like that which Rebbe asked of Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi. It's a fairly clear pshat in the Gemara, right? Right? Understand?
Yeah,
the Braita utilizes Rebbe's Shita or Rebbe's assumptions in his question to construct an explanation for the Braita. Right? So we're not accepting. We're saying the Braita is in line with the assumptions of Rebbe, not like then it's not in line with the response of Rabbi Yishmael Rebbe Yossi, but it's in line with the assumptions of Rebbe Beseder. So that, you know, this is not Rebbe Yishmael. We're not. It's not saying it's like Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi. It's saying it's like Rebbe in his, if you want to call it Habamin or his sheet or whatever you want, however you want to refer to it. But that's what the Braita is saying. When the Braita says Shoyi Luchacha B'Shabak, Luchacha B'Chol, it's talking about. Yeah, it's expressing what Rebbe was trying to say there. He was shot down, but okay, Beseder, you know, he was shot down, but that doesn't mean that's not shot in the Braita. Okay, that's the first approach that we could take to the Gemara. Who does not learn this way? So I gave you a whole bunch of Rishonim who I think do learn this way. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rid and the Riaz.
Rashi.
Who does not learn this way? Okay, so the Meiri, yeah, no, I'm not sure about Rashi, but the Meiri, yes. More so, you're right, and you're absolutely right. I think that the Meiri did not learn this way, but more significantly, the Rambam. Okay, so the Meiri, and I think the Meiri would agree with that. So the Meiri is following the footsteps in the Rambam, of the Rambam, not the other way. Okay, the Rambam, right? The Rambam did not learn this way. How do I know the Rambam did not learn this way? Because the Rambam.
Which way?
As we just suggested.
But he'd explain the Gemara also. He also thinks that you can't walk, you can walk on chol. Walk
what does the Rambam say about psiagas on chol? The Rambam quote, you know, who does the Rambam accept? The Rambam accepts, accepts Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, right? It says in Hilchot Deot, clearly not talking about Shabbos, he's talking about in general. And this is, you know, exactly, he's quoting Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. He says, Yechotei says as follows. Yechotei, Perek, Hey, Halach. I gave you the right reference. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. No, I'm sorry. Sorry. Why was I there? Here we go. Perek Halacha. Okay. Lo yelach tam chacham b'komas kufa b'gar natoi, etc. Fine. V'lo yalach ekev b'tzango, etc. Good. V'lo yarutz b'rishut harabim k'minag mishugan. Okay. V'lo yelech b'rishut harabim. I'm sorry. V'lo yarutz b'rishut harabim k'minag mishugan. Okay. Where did the Rambam get this from? Presumably this is the answer that Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi said to Rebbe that V'chi b'chol mihi tiruah. What do you mean it's not okay adur on chol either? The question is, if we, and he doesn't say those words, but that's seemingly the intent, if that's, and that's only what the Meiri seems to understand as well, as you point out correctly, says, etc. Okay, so.
Well, now Rambam has to jump and explain the Gemara and how they're different.
Yes, we're back to the drawing board. Okay, back to the old drawing board. We want to know. So, Beseder, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, etc., we understand the Gemara. Very nice. But what about according to the Rambam? How are we going to understand the Gemara? So. The Meiri himself suggests a bit of an answer. I don't think it's overwhelming, but it suggests a bit of an answer. What does the Meiri do to try to mitigate this kasha, at least, if not totally resolve it, at least to mitigate it? But it's not such a simple answer. What does the Meiri do to mitigate it? I think that it's in line with something that somebody or someone suggested here along the way, and that is that what? He says that on Shabbos it's aser, on Chol it's something to be avoided to the degree possible, right? So in other words, he tries to have it both ways, that it's not okay during the week, that's accepting Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, right? It's not okay during the week either, it's not good b'chol either. But aser, it's aser on Shabbos, it's not, right? Slightly different level. Okay, is it the most compelling explanation of shelo yehei hiluchah b'shabbat, kiluchah b'chol?
No.
Okay. You can decide whether you're satisfied with that explanation or not. I'm not going to jump to the conclusion that that's what the Rambam is saying. Let's reserve judgment. Okay? Let's reserve judgment. Okay, so This is where we're left for the moment. We're going to stop here in terms of shiur for today. I know we didn't go through all the sources. That's deliberate. It's deliberate. And we still have another Rambam. We have a Gemara and Brachot. Aside from the sources that you didn't look at yet, I'm aware. If you don't get to the last source, okay, but please try to get through well the next group of sources beginning now. Horiotera, please. Start looking at the sugyot in Sukkah, in Ketubot, etc., and the Rishonim that are referred to, as well as the Psukim in Yechezkel, which we'll discuss parenthetically. It's not directly kashur to our Inyan, although it's chaval not to mention it parenthetically, the Psukim in Yechezkel. But basically what we want to focus on is the Shita of Rashi in Sukkah. Okay, the Shita of Rashi in Sukkah we will discuss, Be'ezra Hashem. We'll come back to the Rambam. If you haven't yet gone down the Rambam in Hilchot Shabbat and the Gemara in Brachot, please do so. It's critical. And what we need to do yet is to understand the approach of the Rambam, or to suggest something for the Rambam in our sugya. Okay, but at least we have one approach and we understand what the issue is. So we have the Kasha and one Teretz, and Be'ezra Hashem, we will see the second approach as we continue. Okay.